Hello, friends. My name is Brian Violette from Firm Foundation Christian Church, and I just want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen to this beautiful sermon. It's an Easter sermon. Today we are celebrating the Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. And this morning, the sermon text we're going to work out of is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. And it reads, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So by way of introduction, we all love to hear stories about victory. Stories about the underdog that is against all odds. Someone who is on the brink of defeat, yet overcomes. It's part of our human psyche to root for the one that isn't on the equal footing. For example, Walt Disney, early in his career, worked for a newspaper and he got fired because he was told that he lacked creativity. Yet, look at what he accomplished because of his creativity. You know, the Bible contains stories about people against all odds as well. For instance, a story that is widely known by many, David versus Goliath. David, a man short in stature, with only a slingshot, defeated Goliath, a man giant in size, wearing full armor with a sword. But today, we will focus on a victory that is unmatched. A victory that we can have as well. A victory over death through our Lord God and Savior, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, he specifically speaks about the resurrection in great detail to the Corinthians. And specifically, we can read about it in chapter 15 in the book of 1 Corinthians. This chapter is what I'm going to be working out of today. So if you would like to turn to this chapter in your Bibles, or simply just listen along. But first, friends, Easter is a celebration of the bodily resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection is the core doctrine of Christianity. It's the foundation by which Christians stand in faith. It's part of the gospel message, and it must be preached. The Apostle Paul states, "For I deliver to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures." That's taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. Friends, let me just say that Jesus' victory is the greatest part of His life. You see, without His victory, without His resurrection over death, we have no victory. We have no hope. No hope of eternal life. That once we die, it's over. Friends, Christians would end up in the same boat as every other religion in the world. But the resurrection of Jesus, His victory over death, is what separates Christianity. Paul states in verses 13 and 14, "But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty." Whew. Paul feels so strong about this, he knows about it, that he re-emphasizes this point in the following verses. Go to 16 through 18. He states, "For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished." So, the resurrection matters, friends. The resurrection is the core doctrine of Christianity. Friends, when evangelizing on the streets, my brother and I, we see much uncertainty about death. And the question we present is, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven or hell? And sadly, one common response that we receive is, "I don't know. I don't know." But friends, you can know, and you can be sure, because of the resurrection of Jesus. You see, Jesus, he knew what he had to do while he was here on earth. He knew his mission, his purpose, to do the will of the Father, to save sinners by giving his life a ransom for many. And Jesus, he predicted his victory over death several times. You know, we've seen people predict future victories, and yet we can become very skeptic. We think to ourselves, how can this person predict the future and be so sure? For example, look at society, how society treated Joe Namath. Here was a young, brash quarterback for the New York Jets. And 3 days before his team played the Indianapolis Colts in the third Super Bowl, now Joe guaranteed a victory. This prediction had everyone up in arms because the Jets were a big underdog. Well, 3 days later, they would end up winning the Super Bowl, as Joe predicted. And Joe became like royalty in the realm of sports. Now let me just say that the resurrection was no surprise to Jesus. This was part of his ministry. This was part of God's divine plan from the beginning, to redeem the human race from our sin bondage, to make us right in God's eyes through the propitiation of his Son's sinless blood. You see, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Our sins, which are against God only, serve as a wall preventing us from the presence of Holy God. So God, out of love, he provides sinners with a righteousness that none of us could deserve or could earn. Salvation can only come from the one whom is unblemished, who is without sin, Jesus. God offers us a grace that we do not deserve. And grace can be defined as God's righteousness at Christ's expense. So yes, Jesus predicted his victory over death. But of course, there are skeptics that don't believe today And even in Jesus' time. Let me take you to an example. In the book of John, chapter 2, verses 18 through 22, we're going to read from that. So the Jews answered and said to him, speaking of Jesus, what sign do you show us since you do these things? And Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. So the Jews, they demanded a sign that challenged Jesus' deity. Because only God has that kind of power to raise himself from the dead. So Jesus, in a somewhat puzzling way, revealed the truth to his disciples, yet disguised it from the Jews. However, the last year of Jesus' life, Jesus emphasized his death and resurrection more often. In three recorded occasions, Jesus teaches his disciples more about his future. Let me take you to one of those occasions. The book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 31 records, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. So today, as we celebrate Easter, this is a celebration of the greatest miracle to ever take place. Jesus is our glorious eternal King. Jesus is the beacon of our hope. For the skeptics, the resurrection is the sign. It's the evidence that Jesus conquered death, that the power of Satan is gone. Amen. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 read, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. So sadly, the resurrection will always be doubted by many. The Apostle Paul stated in verse 35, but someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? So friends, as for the moment, let's continue to focus on Jesus' bodily resurrection. You see, some theories presented are that Jesus came back, but he came back in the form of a ghost. However, Scripture disputes this. First and foremost, the grave could not keep him. He was without sin. Acts 2:24 reads, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. So, even though Jesus' body was dead on the cross and dead in the grave, his spirit was still alive, is still alive. As a matter of fact, all three persons in the Trinity took part in the resurrection. Let's begin with the Father. Again, let me just repeat this verse that I just read. Acts 2:24 reads, "Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." This is speaking about God the Father. Let me take you to another verse that points to God the Father's work in the resurrection. Galatians 1:1, it reads, "Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead." Raised him, meaning raised Jesus from the dead. Secondly, we have Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus said this in John. It's recorded in John 10:17-18. Jesus, he said, "Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I received from my Father." Ooh. So, Jesus also was involved in the resurrection. And lastly, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And this is taken from Romans 8:11. It reads, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." So yes, all three persons of the Trinity took part in the resurrection. So going back to the main point, Jesus rose again bodily. His body could be felt. You see, even Jesus' own disciples had their doubts about the resurrected Jesus, probably after witnessing Jesus' horrific death on the cross, what he went through for you and I. But Jesus said to them, the resurrected Jesus said to them, let me take it to that verse. It's in Luke 24:38-39. It reads, "And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." So Jesus even had to give a demonstration to the people closest to him. He showed his pierced hands and feet. Jesus had them touch him to make them realize that they were feeling human bones and flesh. Jesus told Thomas, "Because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen yet believed." So friends, consider the resurrection of Jesus. You can be sure of your eternal future through Jesus. You can have that victory as well. Place your faith and trust in Jesus alone. Romans 10:9-10 read, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Amen. So friends, you can have an assurance in the resurrection. You know, when you and I die, our souls end up in God's heavenly kingdom. Let me take you to 2 Corinthians 5:1. It reads, "For we know that if our earthly house, This tent is destroyed. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Believers, you can be ready. Be ready for death when it comes and not fear it. This is for anybody. Again, place your faith in Jesus Christ. Let me continue on in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's go to 7 and 8. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident. Yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Amen. Now friends, Jesus will one day return for his saints in the rapture. Then Jesus will come again with his saints to establish his earthly kingdom on earth. The Apostle Paul, he speaks about a believer's final victory through Christ. That believers will one day bear a glorious body that bears the divine image of God. Because as of now, our bodies are not fit for God's heavenly kingdom, because we bear the image of the man of dust, the first Adam. So Paul, he shows a contrast between the first Adam and the second Adam, which is referred to as Jesus. For as in the first Adam, all die. Even so in Christ, all shall be made alive. Verse 47 reads, the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. For the first Adam, the body is sown in corruption and dishonor. It's a natural body that bears weaknesses, that is prone to sicknesses. This type of body, it cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Yet for the believer, the body is raised in incorruption, glory, and power, and has turned from natural to the spiritual. Paul writes, for this corruptible, meaning the body, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. So friends, consider the victory you have in Jesus. How death has lost its sting. It is blessed to die in Christ. No need to fear death anymore. But we can welcome it because of Jesus. So praise God for his ultimate sacrifice, sending his son to die on our behalf, and give us a hope of full assurance through his victory over death. We can have it as well. Amen. Amen. Oh, dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for this appointed day, appointed that we draw near to you and focus on you and what you did for us, sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us, for giving us a hope of assurance that because Jesus lives, because of his resurrection, we also can live as well. Because of Jesus, his victory, we can have victory as well. Praise God. Thank you so much, Father. Father, I know that in these times, many people are scared, and I see people try to do whatever they can to protect themselves from the virus, the coronavirus that's around us today. But Father, I pray that people draw near to you, that they look at the real protection from death, your Son's blood, which he shed on the cross from us. And I pray that people look to the blessed hope of the Savior, Jesus Christ, who has given us a victory over death. And we thank you, Father. We thank you so much for what you have done, what you have sacrificed on our behalf, because we truly do not deserve it in any way. So humbly, thankfully, as we look at ourselves in the mirror, and we can see that we don't deserve any part of it. But thank you. Thank you for showing us a love. Thank you, Father, for what you have done for us. We shall never, ever take this for granted. And I pray, Father, that whoever hears this message, that this message gives you a greater hope, a greater peace, that one day, that through faith alone and Christ alone, you can have a victory as well. That you can spend eternity in Christ, in heaven, through Jesus Christ. I pray that you look to him. I pray that he becomes your Savior. And I pray that you will one day rejoice in the blessed hope, the resurrection, as we celebrate this day. In all things I pray, in Jesus' precious name, amen.